Home prices fall to new lows.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's the Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, things just keep getting worse in the housing market. The closely watched Case-Shiller Index is out, and the news on home prices is not good. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks seem to be taking it in stride. The Dow is up 120 points at 12,562. The Nasdaq up 0.9%, and the S&P 500 up 0.8%. Walmart has gotten approval from the South African government to purchase that country's local retailer Massmart for $2.4 billion. As part of the deal, Walmart was told not to cut jobs for 2 years and to work with local suppliers. Now let's get to the housing market. The Case-Shiller Index says home prices in 12 of the 20 biggest metro areas in the country fell in March to their lowest levels since the housing crisis began. Julie Niemann is an analyst with Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis, as she is every Tuesday. Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, Julie, you've said we're in a double-dip recession in housing. Do you think it's time to start calling it a depression?
It definitely is, and there's no end in sight. We're down another 4% just since last summer. And the big problem is in the Sand States, of course, Florida, Arizona, Nevada. California and D.C. were actually up this time. Stable, Texas, Mountain States, New York was down, and all the upper Midwest down.
And why are places like California, which had been doing worse, doing a little bit better this time?
Well, part of it is jobs. You know, you've got confidence that you're not going to lose your job, loosening the purse strings, and we're starting to see it move up, especially in California. Also, some of the California banks have started to accelerate their write-off here. So you've got a lot of people who were underwater in their mortgages. Things are a little bit stabilizing here. So jobs is probably the key thing.
And Julie, do you think this is a situation where the rest of the economy can recover around housing, or does housing drag everything else down?
Well, at this point, it's going to keep a long, slow slog mode because depressed home building prices and everything related to real estate is going to keep that section of the economy down. A psychology of consumers is going to stay down because if you're underwater in your existing home, you're not going to buy, especially when prices keep falling. And the banking system still has huge exposure. You're going to have extreme makeover, home makeover edition here as they level a bunch of these things. A lot of them are in terrible condition.
Julie Niemann, analyst with Smith Moore & Company, thanks so much.
You bet.
Well, tomorrow is the first day of June, which means it's the month the Federal Reserve stops its $600 billion bond buying program. The Fed's goal for quantitative easing was to flood the market with cash so that interest rates would drop and companies would be enticed to borrow more money and hire more people. Now that the program is ending, a lot of investors are worried about how markets will react, as our New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore reports.
Michael Mata has been an investor in the bond markets for over 20 years. At ING Investment Management, he runs a big bond fund, like the one you'd find in your 401k. These days, Mata is thinking a lot about how he'll react when the Federal Reserve stops buying Treasury bonds.
Philosophically, you know, one of the sayings in the business is if you're going to panic, panic early.
Even savvy investors can't predict what the end of the Fed's program will mean. Think of the bond market like a pool in your backyard, and the water level as the price of the bonds. The Fed, this giant 800-pound gorilla, is sitting in there and making the pool look full. It looks safe now, but investors like Mata are afraid they're going to dive in when the gorilla leaves and hit their heads really hard.
It makes it much more difficult to gauge what's real. Just as in 07, when your house was up 40%, you knew in the back of your mind part of that probably isn't real.
Mata says it's hard to tell which bonds will be attractive after the Fed leaves.
It makes the job and the investment process a little trickier.
It's just as tricky in the stock market. Low interest rates and a lot of investors looking for higher returns in stocks. Peter Buchvar plans investment strategies for Miller Tabak. He says the Fed pumped the market full of steroids. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has jumped about 24% in 10 months. But Buchvar predicts the index will fall as much as 15% when the Fed finally stops buying.
Markets won't like it because they've become so accustomed to it.
But like Mata, Buchvar is happy to say good riddance to the Fed's program.
At some point, it has to end. At some point, the economy has to be left alone. At some point, the training wheels have to come off and the U.S. economy has to grow on its own.
Investors are still nervous. For all their faith in American capitalism, it's been a long time since they've seen the markets work without the government's help. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. By IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
News this morning that Germany plans to abandon nuclear energy altogether in the next 11 years following the nuclear disaster in Japan. So where will Germany get its energy from going forward? Here's the BBC's Rebecca Singer.
Doing without nuclear energy by 2022 is an ambitious timeline. Friedbert Pfluger is director of the European Centre for Energy and Resource Security. He says Germany has already made great progress in increasing its reliance on renewable technologies.
With the combination of wind, biogas, water and solar, we have a lot of possibilities in the future to reach that goal.
The long-term aim is for Germany to rely almost completely on renewables. That won't be possible within the next decade, but in the meantime, Germany will instead rely on natural gas to bridge the gap. That could face opposition from environmentalists who aren't keen on an increasingly widely used technique which involves getting natural gas from shale. There are concerns that Germans will have to pay more for energy, but Pfluger says it makes great business sense because Germany could become the world leader in developing new renewable technology. I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
And finally, to Uniontown, Pennsylvania, where there's a small business turf war going on. According to the Herald Standard newspaper, two ice cream truck drivers are not showing much good humor to one another. In fact, things have gotten so bad that police were called after one driver tried to drive the other one off the road. Officials have instructed both ice cream vendors to cool it, or they'll have their permits revoked. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Our friends at Freakonomics Radio have come up with a simple way to determine whether something should be illegal or not. It's called the daughter test.
Well, that wouldn't be so bad. I mean, I'd rather have her be, you know, a great economist. But if she had to be something, a professional poker player wouldn't be a bad thing for her to turn out to be.
I'm Tess Vigeland, online poker and other illicit trades. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.